So much ground has been lost. So much territory has been overtaken. But the Lord calls out from heaven, who shall I send and who will go for us? Who will hear my call in this day and respond? When my inheritance is plundered, my armies are faint. By whose hand will I slay the giants? By which nation will I conquer the darkened territories? Until our eyes go beyond the sphere of ourselves, and until we begin to delve into the mind of God to sense what exactly is the burden upon it, then and only then can we be an answer to a prayer and a fulfillment of a prophecy. The Lord give us understanding tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome, sir. Hallelujah. Yesterday we were trying to discuss in our study the controlling power of the prince of darkness. Within territories, within nations, within lands, and also that which contests for your own particular destiny. And how the devil negotiates his way and makes us to take sides with vanity. How that human intelligence cannot outsmart the devil. And the prescription that can survive in such a time is that we need to imbibe the ways of Christ much more in our time. Turn with me in your Bible. We have been looking at the subject, the light of the world, and we have taken two nights to explain what exactly the world is. I said yesterday that God created the world, the earth, with a principle of seed bearing fruit after its kind, so that there will be no need for God to create another mango tree after that he created the first one. Because mango has the potential inherent in its seed to produce another. So that potential was locked up in creation. It is the basis of multiplication. But it happened to be that when the fall came into manifestation and the entire creation was corrupted, the purpose of God could no longer be achieved by the old creation. The principle of seed bearing fruit was still sustained. It means that which was of the old creation had the capacity to keep on going on, even though it was no longer propelled by the divine life. Our definition of corruption yesterday was the state, any state at all, that something can assume without the life of God as its vital force is corruption. Because anything that proceeds from it in that state will not fulfill the purpose of God. And so the picture in the book of Ecclesiastes begins to give us some form of insight And he said that everything and all the purposes of the old creation are vanity, leading to higher dimensions and degrees of vanity. That was what our brother John in the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 tried to intimate us about. That the whole world was under the sway of the wicked one. Everything in the old creation is drifting towards a course that is not propelled by God or intended by God. And by the time you hear the prayer of Jesus in the book of John chapter 17 verse 15, among all the things Jesus prayed about, Jesus did not request that God would take us out of this realm. As corrupted as it is, that it doesn't have the capacity to fulfill the mind of God and desire of heaven, he did not request that we be taken out of this realm. The only thing he prayed for was that we should be kept away from the wicked one. We saw yesterday, as we perused through the scriptures, trying to really discern who is this one of which Jesus spake, the wicked one. We saw that he was a first merchant, the angel of commerce, the one that is skilled in negotiation, the cherub that walked in the midst of the coals of fire. And even though he fell, he still retains within himself capacity to negotiate because he's a merchant. Because of the work of Jesus that was performed on the cross, the Bible revealed that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Before that time, Satan was a tyrant, and you were under his authority whether he liked it or not. But because of what Jesus did and the implication in the realm of the Spirit, if you agree with it by faith, you come under, from under the yoke of his tyranny. And that is against his will anyway. But the spiritual opening has been made in the realms that through faith we can experience victory. Victory that can cause us to overcome the world when we identify with what Jesus has done. We are yanked from under the influence of darkness. We are no longer answerable to the prince of this world. That's the starting point. But everything drifts in the direction of the predetermined mindset of this prince of darkness. Now, let me come home before we continue this evening. I said that anything that doesn't have the divine life is corrupted, is being manipulated, orchestrated by the prince of darkness towards an end that is not the purpose of God. Alright? Have you realized that Jesus is not the one in charge of education? Ask your neighbor now. Have you realized that? Now, I just want you to see that what the Bible calls the world is so close to you. Okay? Anything that is not controlled by Jesus directly is part and parcel of a potential that the devil can manipulate towards his own end. Okay? Because when we talk about several other issues, you directly brand them to be altogether of the devil. So let me come closer to you. Jesus is not the one that controls education. It means that education or knowledge in that sphere is a quest of the mind that knows no boundary. I hope you know that witchcraft is being brought into schools now in US and is studied as a course, how to cast spells, how to do stuff, how to command and summon entities. It's studied now. If you have been careful and you have noticed, you find out that contemporary themes are drafted into showcasing witchcraft as a new basis of marketing. And everything is going under a particular sway, being manipulated by a very intelligent entity. Those days, in order for you to have a spiritual wife, you needed to go by the waterside and the priest of the shrine will come dedicate you to a water spirit, tie some amulets around your waist, give you some necklaces to put on, and a little charm to hang in your room. During the night times, a spiritual entity will walk into your room and sleep with you. But now you don't need to, you have been exempted from the elaborate processes. If you desire such, just go to the internet and you are a click away from the spiritual realm. Anything that is not directly under the control of Jesus is a tool that is under his sway that he can manipulate anyhow he chooses, with a mind of causing you to gravitate away from God. These things are so subtle, but we do not know that we are actually in the realm where he is prince. There is no way you can function effectively under these circumstances if you are not loyal to the kingdom that is contrary to the prince of which we speak. Anything the Bible calls great, God calls great. I think you need to sit down and think about it. Because among many other things, the Bible says salvation is great. Among many other things, the Bible speaks of a great tribulation. What do you have looked? The Bible also calls this personality great, in case you did not notice. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you did elementary English, is great, greater, greatest. So if God says greater, it means the one in the world is great. Are you still here with me? You see, we underestimate this personality. You will not agree with me if I say he controls most of the pulpits in the world today. The Bible calls him the cosmocrator, which means the tyrant that rules in the sphere of the world. And everything under the ambience of his influence is used by him to manipulate everything possible in line with a trend that leads away from God. It happens so subtly that you will not even be able to predict the boundary. And so, if the devil is able to find your lust, what is it you have an appetite for that is readily available? He doesn't have such knowledge anyway to know intuitively. He needs to try you out with some of his apparatus. And when he finds out which one has an affinity towards you, that you reacted when he brought his product, that particular product, before your face, he will know that there's an affinity, there's something inside of you that responds to that product. Are you still here with me? If you have ever had a television that came with a remote control, and you put some fresh new batteries in your remote control, and you change the channel, it will change, because there is a relationship between your remote control and the television. And so the devil watches you and tries and arrays his products before you. When he finds a product that is compatible with something inside, a lust inside of you, then he looks for the appropriate remote control that can respond on that frequency. He can change your channel. So somebody can be speaking in tongues and prophesying, but he will become a beer drinker before his prophecy came to pass. Have you ever seen that before? What did he do? He found a remote that was compatible with a lust, and he wanted to change the channel. Cosmocrator, an intelligent spiritual entity that should not be overlooked. He has perfected the dynamics of negotiation and commerce. The Bible calls him the first known merchant in the spiritual realm. He was an angel that had the quality of negotiation. That was why when he fell, a third of the stars of heaven fell with him, because of his capacity to negotiate. We saw his practical manifestation of his endowment in Matthew chapter 4 when he came to negotiate with Jesus. If there was anything in Jesus that was not submitted altogether to God, he would have found a string, he would have found a relationship that one of his remote controls would have responded to. We talked a lot about that yesterday. Hallelujah. We saw also from the book of Judges that seven times Israel, God's own nation, Israel was bettered by God's own idea. He had to call the founding father of that nation from all the Chaldees to lead the worship of idols to begin the nation. But in God's own nation, seven times it is written in your Bible and in my Bible, that the nation drifted off its secret and was joined to idols. And then God will raise a deliverer and bring them deliverance. Another time again, they drift again to idols. Then God raises somebody, you bring deliverance, and then restore worship. It happened seven times, and the nation was drifting all the time in one direction, away from God. That suggests to us that it is not by accident. There's a force that propels it that way. Hallelujah. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Sit back. Are you still here with me? Have you ever come to a point in your life you just saw that the tenacity that you had before in faith, the things you did, some strange things before, you put your hand upon the sick and they recovered, you did some things for God, and today what you tell are stories of what you did in the past, and you don't know where you missed it, how you missed it, and when you missed it. There was a wave that swept you so quietly, you did not understand. It was orchestrated by a merchant. He had negotiated his way and caused you to substitute something that had eternal value for something that was vain and empty. Many times it takes several people 5 years to see the emptiness in a particular course that they take on. And when they wake up from their slumber, hey, the hair of his head has been shaved. My prayer is, when exactly will our generation wake from our slumber? This personality of whom the Bible speaks is so intelligent, so crafty. He controls many of our pulpits today. The reason why I'm so sure of that is because I have seen a little scriptures, some scriptures in the Bible that describe him as the angel of commerce, the chief merchant, one that has powers of negotiation. I said yesterday that the devil is not yet ready to walk except he uses his joker. Amen. When we see the temptation of Jesus, you see the third temptation was a real temptation. Are you still here with me? Just trying to refresh your memory before we continue. The third temptation was a real temptation. That was a real temptation. That was his joker. And if the devil has not come to that point, he's not serious here. The third temptation had to do with glory. You see, the first time glory was mentioned in the Bible, it had to do with riches. So glory in the context of Matthew chapter 4 talks about the riches and all the splendor and majesty that were in the kingdoms of the world. That is the sum total of what the spirit called mammon influences. And what exactly is mammon? Who exactly is mammon? It's a personality. That's the angel of commerce. That's the prince of this world. And see, the devil has not begun to fight until he begins to fight using those tools. Those are his best tools. He was trained to function that way. Have you realized that most of our preaching today is that you can get stuff, you can get something? It is a perverted representation of the revelation in the scripture. Because Jesus promised that if we seek first the kingdom, these things that the Gentiles seek will be added to us. At no point in time will you find yourself seeking it. It will be added to you. And I always say that during the days of the Deeper Life Movement, people serve God and they still prosper. But you see, what we preach today is that you are looking for riches, I know a way. Come and follow Jesus. That's the way to riches. What the Bible teaches is seek God. Riches will come. When Melchizedek encountered Abraham, he encountered Abraham shortly before the kings of Sodom and his allies came to bring a proposal to him. The encounter that he had with Melchizedek affected the way he spoke to the kings that came with a deal. The deal was, you give us the guys and you take all the money, take all the resources. But before they encountered Melchizedek, before they encountered Abraham, Abraham had encountered Melchizedek. And he had given Melchizedek the tithes of all his spoil. Then he gave the kings all their riches. Because the guys came and said, okay, you take the goods, just give us the people that belong to us. That's a negotiation that the devil does with pastors. Take the goods. Give us the souls. Make the deal to preach what we want you to preach that will satisfy the appetite for greed. The fact that you have a brainwave to set up a fashion shop does not mean Jesus spoke to you. But see, gradually, this intelligent spiritual personality seeks to take everything on a course away from God. That's his vision. The evil day does not come like a day that is bad. It's just a day of temptation. It's a day of negotiation. And many times the devil gets us into a contact without your assenting. Practically, he just moves around your life like that. He changes one or two factors. And if he sees that you stand without complaining, it means that you have accepted his proposal. That that wine and the intoxication of your new reality will keep you dull and undiscerning, maybe for about 5 years before you wake up from the wine and see that I've drifted away. So in a generation where the light is dim, because the light is the church, and out of Zion the Bible says the Lord should come forth, and somebody comes to church and is born again for 14 years and he doesn't look like Christ at all, he looks like an economist, somebody that needs to make money quickly, you will know that what he has heard from the pulpit has been manipulated by a very intelligent being. I hope you know Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. That means they will be speaking in tongues, you will be looking at them and checking the watch. When you speak for 2 hours, I say, and your tongue, the thing goes down. He said, watch it, watch it, watch it. When last did you do that to somebody? Expecting that the person will pick up to know that your destiny is going to derive from the relationship with God. And that's why when the Bible says that Jesus will be adding things to you because you seek first the kingdom, he did not say that you will multiply it as we prophesy from the pulpit. This week, blessings will follow you. No. He didn't say that. Because among all things you can call Jesus, he is not a money doubler. For anything that God gives you, he takes you through a process that will slay and bring to death every appetite that would have allowed the vanity involved in or connected to that thing to affect you. He will slay you first before he makes you leave. So that at every point in time you can use the world but not abuse the world. I'll talk about that much. Jesus in his prayer point said, do not take these guys out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. That was his prayer. If it was not important, he would not pray it. The great Jesus prayed and he said, keep them from the evil. He doesn't fight with sword and shield, as most of us think most of the time, what we call fire and catapult and thunder. Most of those prayers are very epileptic. Because the day is going to come, he'll come on a suit to negotiate. He'll come on a very good day, no rain that day. And after negotiating, it may take 5 years from your life. Just because you did not even say no. The canker worms are given authority to feast on your years, and you recover after 5 years of plunder. Many of you sitting here, there were several relationships you entered that 8, 7 years, 5 years. Meanwhile, your eyes were open. The scriptures you knew from Sunday school were still bubbling in your heart. It didn't take any of the scriptures away, it was still there. As many as believed in those days in Bible club, to them he gave power to be called the sons of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, the scriptures are still there, but this entity came and negotiated with your scriptures, and he left with 5 years of your life. I think we need to prepare for this entity differently. I think we need a review of our arsenal in trying to stand against this prince of which Jesus prayed that God should keep us away from. If Jesus said that ye are the light of the world, then what does he expect us to do when it's obvious that you all by yourself are no match for this personality? That's why anytime you come to stand against the devil with yourself, by yourself, you will always fail.
I remember a preacher. The devil dealt with him, so he woke up and said, Satan, I'm going to deal with you.
Satan did not show up that. He came 5 years later.
Because the guy thought it was all about praying in tongues and prophesying. The day Satan came, he didn't know.
Rain didn't even fall. The cock crowed early in the morning. But his life was going down. For the next 5 years, his life was out. Tell your neighbor, we need to prepare for this personality differently. Oh, you didn't hear me. You spoke with as if. Tell him, preach with me, preach for me. You need to prepare for this personality differently.
How did Jesus expect us to be the light when he has said it? That the whole world lieth in the evil one.
We are the only race of people on earth that draw our life source from a different fountain. We are the only.
And the Bible makes us to understand that God created us in his own image. There are three things that constitute the image of God. The first of that is the light, the illumination.
Hallelujah.
The second of that is love. Love. Because if you say God is love and love is God, it's all and one the same thing. You are right according to the scriptures. Love is God. It's part of his image. If God should show up and encounter somebody, you must see the deposit of love in what he has done. But Jesus said, he had the light of the world. We draw our life from a different fountain. How can we stand against these things successfully? This prince is a personality that he has the people in your office under his grip. If he wants to get to you, he's just to touch it, two or three of them, and they will make life difficult for you. And that's why I told you that persecution is part of kingdom life. If it is true that you draw your life from a different fountain, the devil can manipulate everything in the circumstances to fight against you, just to get you to a point where your will will be broken, your emotion will be punctured, your mind will be thrown into confusion. That's what he has mastery to do. And then when you have been under the heat for a long time, many break. And that's why when he came against Jesus, he was against him for 40 days. And Jesus took him. Ask your neighbor, how long can you stand the heat? And you take the tape of a preacher when he started ministry, and then take another sample tape 5 years after ministry, you may discover that this man is speaking by two different influences 5 years later. What happened between and between? The cosmocrator has laid his hands upon him. Yet Jesus seeks a people without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. And when you read the Bible, you begin to ask yourself, when will that generation come? But based on biblical truth and biblical revelation, we see that the time is already spent. And Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of prosperity. Tell your neighbor, preach for me. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as a witness to all people. Then the end shall come. It means that if the only gospel that got to your village is prosperity, your village has not been witnessed to. Because it's this gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom that will witness to
all nations. Notice that God doesn't seek converts from all nations, as it were. He wants the gospel of the kingdom to get everywhere, so that nobody will be able to complain that God did not witness to me. He didn't show me the kingdom. The kingdom message should give everybody a choice. And then you become responsible for the choices you make thereafter. Are you still here with me? Okay, now you understand where we are going. So let's continue. The light of the world. Turn your Bible with me quickly. If you want to survive this personality, there are about five things you must do consistently and deliberately. Time will fail us to talk about five of them. But God will help us to discuss two of them thoroughly. The angel of commerce, we saw yesterday in the book of Revelation chapter 13, from verse 16 to 18, he brought out his joker again. And he says, unless you receive my mark or the number of my name, you will not buy or sell. Hallelujah. So what we call 666 is actually something that was revealed under what we call the economic wind. Because it's buy or sell. That is commerce. That's what he controls. And with commerce, he's going to rule nations and bring men under his tyranny. You believe that if you don't have a car, the sense of your being has been affected. But the Bible says that we are complete in him. If God is in your spirit, you should, if you do business with the Holy Ghost, you should come to a point where you have received security in your spirit because of the God you have. And you know that anything that comes into your life doesn't come to add to the sense of your being, but it comes to make you more effective in your kingdom service. If you have not come to that point, you are on a wilderness journey that is long. And so the reason why people go for night vision is so that prophecy can come and they can be anointed to break through. That's not the vision of the New Testament. The vision of the New Testament is to raise kingdom addicts that respond to the command of one commanding officer. In a world where several things will seek your attention to draw you over, to join a voyage that leads away from God, you have to be a radical, a warrior, to stand and not bow to any other thing, say Jesus. My joy tonight is that everybody that came here will have the opportunity to make a choice. For many years, as a Christian that I sat in the church, I didn't have so much of a choice to make because the gospel that was preached to me did not give me the possibility to make a choice for the kingdom. But the kingdom message is supposed to leave you with the responsibility of making a choice, just as Lot had to make a choice. Where will you go? And he used his know-how to decide the next phase of his journey, and you know what happened thereafter. If a message enlarges your appetite for greed, for material stuff, it was preached by somebody I know well. His name is the prince of this age. He's in charge of that pulpit. And one of the things end-time believers need to develop quickly is what is called discernment. It's really some to sit in a service for 2 hours without the Holy Spirit present. It's wearisome. It's unfortunate, but we need to say it quickly, because the purpose of God is at stake here. There are several ministries that Jesus left 12 years ago, but they have mighty numerical strength. The message of the New Testament is kingdom. That is a central line of revelation in the Bible. If your Bible study does not get you to a point where you see kingdom as the major object of biblical revelation, that from the first to the last God speaks kingdom, it's not a religion Jesus brought you, but a kingdom. And how you are going to operate in that kingdom. That kingdom was first showcased and manifested in heaven, brought into this sphere, and God is expecting that the kingdom will affect every area of human endeavor. The way you do your work for government is affected by kingdom. The way you do business on the field is affected by the value system of the kingdom. The way you function as a student is affected by the kingdom. If you have not come to that point and you are running a template in life that is motivated by human or self agenda, you are on a road that is very known to the prince of this world. Sooner or later, he will manipulate you into something. You think you are still going on well because the world will clap for you. But we were careful to say the first night of this meeting that what the world calls blessing, the kingdom calls woe. And that was why the first message of the kingdom that was ever declared was repent. Because if you are going to follow the kingdom and follow the value system of the kingdom, you have to change your mindset in every aspect of your life. A king will dictate how your life will be. It means you can't just wake up and say, I like that sister, I want to marry. I'm old now. The king must have to veto it. It's a choice to obey him anyway. When kingdom comes into view, choice becomes paramount. It means that you can decide not to follow. Nothing will happen. The cock will still crow. And if you are following, nobody will console you. Amen? He will spell out to you the things you are going to suffer. He will make it plain to you that this is the things you are going to encounter as you follow this road. But blessed are ye if you can take upon yourself that responsibility. Heaven will be counting upon you for the change that is to come. I pray your life will be an answer to a prayer and a fulfillment of a prophecy. If we are going to be the light of the world, then a mighty responsibility is upon our shoulders. Let us look upon the scriptures and find wisdom in them. Turn your Bible to the book of Luke. The first thing you need to know as the light of the world. Hallelujah. Luke 17, quickly. If you came here with a writing material, I want you to write in your exercise book the word detachment. Detachment. And if you have so written, I want you to tell your neighbor detachment. Jesus said, I do not pray that you should take these guys out of the world, but I pray that you keep them from the evil one. Is that not so? It means that if Jesus said that we should not be taken out of the world, it means first of all we have a mission in the world. Secondly, we will use some things of the world. But there's a principle that guarantees safe use of the world. It's called detachment. And in your pilgrim's journey, in his fair life, you need to understand the principle of detachment. Because it's a paramount principle that will determine your success in this frame of reference. I know a preacher, wonderful evangelist, and somehow she preached in a particular place and she was given a jeep. Is it wrong to have a jeep? But you see, when this jeep came into our life, as I said the other time, She packs it close to her bedroom window. So when she wakes up in the night, by 2 o'clock in the night, she wakes up and she will check the jeep to see whether the glasses are wound up. And since the jeep came, normally she wakes 2 times in the night for checkup. She was in peace before the jeep came. But when the jeep came, she started waking up, not for night vigil, but waking up to survey. And one of the times while she crept to check, and she had a good view of the jeep, Jesus spoke in a hurry, "Sell the jeep." Tell your neighbor, "Sell it." You know why? That jeep actually came. She had a lust for jeep. But in her struggle as an evangelist, she had not yet entered into that pleasure of sitting behind a jeep and being driven around town. And suddenly, her lust was spared. Her character changed instantly. And there was a pull towards the item. And in order for Jesus to rescue her, Jesus said what? Why? Not that Jesus did not want her to have a jeep, but the principle, there is a principle in the kingdom called detachment. You are not qualified to possess anything that you are attached to. Through that, there is a link that is known in the realm of the spirit of which the prince of this world will use to manipulate your destiny. So you must be detached from everything that is within sight and range. And if there's something in your household that you hold sacred. I know nobody will say amen today. Something you hold so dear to your soul. And whenever you look upon it, it's as if ventilation comes upon your soul. I say, wow. That's an indication that there's an attachment. And if it's true you hear God, you would have heard him long time say, so. Because he wants you to be detached. So as you walk in the world, there are times where you don't even know you're lost. But the Bible says that a man is tempted when he's driven in his own lust and enticed. It means that our lust is particular to us, is idiosyncratic, it's personal. Alright? Many times you don't know it. But somehow, if you notice that there is a piece of furniture, something, maybe your TV, flat screen, plasma, glued to the wall, and when you wake up in the night, you find out that you are connected to it. You have an attraction. With that lust known, the prince of this world knows how to settle you. And I saw you that your prayer and fasting will not deliver you. So there's a kingdom principle called detachment. So tell your neighbor quietly, whisper, detachment. Oh, you may not understand that I saw a brother that a lady came into his life and he hears the lady more than God. In every sermon he preaches, he must tell us of the glory upon the dancer. That suddenly in my wilderness journey, Jesus had looked upon me with mercy and out of heaven, a love, a beauty machine has declined to me. Somebody say amen. That guy is letting you into the current commodity of his soulish attachment. And if Jesus needs to help him, Jesus will say, no more. Wait, okay, let's read the scripture. Luke chapter 17. Turn your Bible with me. In Jesus' name. At the end of the day, the question is, what really did you serve? The reason I did not say who is because you can serve your vehicle. You can serve your shoe. Have you ever seen somebody with a shoe? It doesn't allow the shoe to touch the ground. So he's crippled. He doesn't, he's crippled on Sunday because he only puts it on once in a month, and that day he's crippled. The Lord give you understanding. The Lord let you know that, let him make you know tonight that he doesn't have any problem giving you things, but when he looks upon you, because the Bible says he knows you. So he knows your lust, he knows your name, he knows your appetite that is not yet dealt with, and he wants you to have you close to him, and he knows that if he releases that money you are praying for, you'll be so attached to it that you won't hear God again. The music director in that church in Abuja, after so many years, he released an album. And the pastor came and said, "Church, this man has served God. Let's not just buy the album. Let's sow a seed into his life." That day in the church, he was able to take home 300,000. And then I think about 400 more thousand was in pledges. He applied for a leave after service. That I want to rest. Somebody say rest, 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 rest. Tell your neighbor you need rest, you need. And the whole of Abuja was not enough for him to rest. He had to go to Jos. And in his company, among his luggage, was a damsel. The pastor made a mistake that day. The mistake the pastor did was that she was emotional. Her husband traveled, so she was the one in charge, and she did an emotional thing. Let's show into his life. That guy was not mature for money. He had a little God inside of his soul that nobody could see. And the day 300,000 came, his God had come. Do you know we lost that guy after that service? The next time I saw him was on the poster in my cubby. That is a man that Jesus has released a disclaimer over his life. But in Makodi, he went, he has sung in several churches. Any poster you see now. Let's see if the Lord gives you understanding. Oh my God, oh my God. You can be going to church and coming out. You are living. You are, Jesus does not call you among his people. You have been making plans for revival and demonstration for a long time. Why has it not happened? The laborers of you. The people you can speak to in the night, 2 a.m. at you. The people that are not attached to mundane things at you. The people that you can wake up and say, "Stop! There's a burden upon my heart I need to share with you." They are few. So how can God move in the territory when there's no human vehicle to lead him in? As we speak, I want you to begin to go through your life. Many of us here are crooks. If you have half a chance to make money, you loot the state treasury. God knows it. You will loot. Yes, you go for night vision, you are seeking for anointing, for breakthrough. That's why you are under a fake pastor, because you have a lust that your pastor services on Sunday morning. Then they put oil on you and say, "This week that you have
me."
And he goes back on Friday, he's already weary by the feet of the devil. So he just crosses the church again. Like that. And then another prophecy is coming. Jesus doesn't speak like that. There is something you have not seen. May the Lord open your eyes this evening. In Jesus' name. What is our generation going to live for? We said it the other time that another name in Greek for God is aeon, which means age. And I said that an age is a bracket of time that sustains a particular character revealed by the lust of humanity. So there's a time where
The age is a technological age. That's the lust of man. Everything is going technology. Presently is an age of communication. So you have services like the internet and all that and all that and all. And I said that with every new age comes newer ways for the devil to advertise his products. And so you might be on the internet browsing your mail and a pornographic page just opens upon your mail. You did not open it, it opened by itself. And you know that many people are tied down in pornography today just because they went to check their mail and something appeared and it entrusts something inside of them and they say, let's follow it a little. And today they are 5 years old in pornography. Innocent people that just went there. I think we need a study on this personality called the prince of this world. So that you know that you have been moving without bulletproof all this while. And if you have survived till this day this way, then the message of God is strong. But it's time for us to become prophetic and accurate. One of the things Paul did not want us to be ignorant of was the devices of the enemy. Are you still here with me? God knows you. He knows your loss. And it was not God that arranged for 300,000 for that guy. It was the pastor. And that was his ruin. He was humble. They gave him a house in Garki. And he used to come from his house to church. The guy will see people will fall down under the power. But that day, they gave him 300,000. He's God. He had to take leave to Joss. He came back an unbeliever. The next album he produced was secular. Let us dance. Jesus was going inside the group. Dance, 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 everybody, dance. The Lord give you understanding. As you laugh, meditate deeply about your life, where you have been in the past 5 years. What deviated you from that time that you used to pray every Wednesday? Today, you wake up and you want to pray in tongues, and the tongue denies you. I don't know you. It's flat and dry, old and stale. How did you get there? Luke. What did I say? Luke chapter what? 17. The first principle that we need to know as kingdom men in our pilgrim journey is the principle of what? Detachment. Luke 17:31. We'll read a scripture and then we'll proceed as God will help us in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. We say, if you happen to be on the rooftop, that day when the master comes to take his own, suddenly your mind will go back to your house. That book you are writing, you have not yet finished. Need to drive it to a point of conclusiveness before you can say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I explained this scripture elaborately on Saturday morning. And if you read the scripture very well theologically, you come to realize that first of all, Jesus spoke about Noah. And secondly, Jesus spoke about Lot. And in speaking about Noah, Jesus was referring to the Jews
within the context of the Great Tribulation. Because the Jews are going to be in the great Tribulation, but God is going to preserve them in the Tribulation. And then Jesus begins to speak about Lot. And the example of Lot is typical of the church, because the story of Lot is most representative of the rapture. Because in the case of Lot, he was taken away from the place of crisis and altogether removed. And so when Jesus was making reference to Lot, he was actually speaking about the church in connection to the rapture. And when he spoke of Lot, he said, remember Lot's wife. The rapture was already in procession. She was already being carried away by God from the land of perdition. While in transit, there was a connection. She was attached to something in Sodom. She was not fully detached. And as she was gliding up there, the thing she was attached to was drawing her down. And the instruction was, do not look back. She was only moving in the flesh, but her soul was lost in after something in Sodom. When she turned back to give a final look and say, farewell, Sodom and Gomorrah, she was stuck in transit. And Jesus spoke that referring to the rapture. That in the time when the Son of Man will come to pick his own he shall pick. But then they shall get to him, and them that are totally detached from everything of the world. And he's suggesting to those on the housetop, saying to them that in case you find yourself on the housetop, do not desire anymore to go in there. In case you are writing a book and you have not finished, be ready to let it go. That's the way we pilgrims live in this frame of reference. You are not overly and emotionally attached to anything. The only thing that you are attached to, drawn to, and lust for is God. You know why we pray now for heaven on earth? You know what? Because many of us don't want God to come again. There's a business going on for me. My shares have piled up by the tune of about $1 million. I need to leave some more to spend it. So heaven on earth could save his presence. But no matter how you desire here to be heaven, let me tell you the truth, it is not. It is because of our attachment to this frame of reference that we cannot even imagine anything more glorious. And the Bible says, he that is up there don't desire to come down. That's detachment. But there's nothing down there that is attached to me. I can let it go. If you don't live like that, you are not free. You're bound. And let me tell you something more devastating. The prince of this world will get you in due time. Once you are attached to it. Somebody said detachment. You are not free until you are detached. Go back to your room and go back to your bedroom. Go back to your wardrobe. You know that garment that anytime you see it, you feel your body will go into small fever. You are not supposed to have it now. So save yourself the trouble and let it go. Detachment. Just another scripture to prove it, and I'll explain some more. Have you ever been in a relationship that Jesus said, this one must go? If you have experienced it like me, let me see your hand. Just be. Amen. What he was doing is not cruelty. It's helping you to operate the kingdom principle of detachment. Because the Bible says your eye needs to be single for your body to be full of light. And if there's anything in your life that you are attached to, that thing with Jesus has the capacity to control you. And if there's something struggling with Jesus for your control, that thing always wins because Jesus is a gentleman. I knew a lady while I was on campus. She was the most beautiful in the science faculty. A sister. And when she comes down the aisle, there's something ladies call catwalk. She needs to make sure that her steps are in pace, 3 millimeters from each other. She didn't know she was a shrine. Because she worshipped her beauty. She never knew that the reason for that beauty so that she can use it to serve God. She was so attached to it. She was so in love with the way she looked. Spent so much money to make herself. Oh my God. 3 millimeters each step was so calculated, was deliberate. And in order for Jesus to help her, she could not graduate. You know, if God wants to really help you, the first thing he does is that he disappoints you. For me, I had a problem. I felt I was the most intelligent man upon the face of the earth, and that was a problem. It was my own idol. Before I preach a 15-minute message, I tell you of how that I'm a scholastic entity. I'm a preacher of mystery and a student of chemistry. And for Jesus to help me in the holy, I had to allow my grace fall into a very glorious level. What is he trying to do is detachment. So that there's nothing you can glory about save that you are a recipient of the divine life. There's something inside of your life that no one cannot boast of. There's something that the Adam of Eden did not have. He didn't have the life of God. Too bad. But God began with me by giving me what Adam did not have. That's what you should glory about. You do not even qualify. None of us does. But God loved us the way we were, mingled in nothingness and darkness and vanity. That he may bring us to himself to have a people that he could call his own. Detached from every element of the world. Everything under which the sway of the prince of this world and his grip was entangled. That you can stand sure and true and free to proclaim his kingdom, power, and glory. And every time you are entangled with the lady, so much so that the lady is the current goddess in your life, God will always say, let it go. Thank God for the ability to let it go. Many of us could still fulfill our destiny just because we painfully accepted that fact to let it go. And there are several people still in the house today that still need to let it go, to detach. That's when you become free. Freedom is not that seriousness. Freedom is actually managed with some form of bondage. You must be bound to something. Even the madman of Gadara, he thought he was free, but he was bound to the worst thing. You were bound to a spirit of darkness that wanted him dead. And when the anointing of that spirit was provoked upon him, he found himself trying to kill himself. He cried, but he could not stop it. That's bondage. Alright? Bondage is actually bondage to what you don't like. That's bondage. But freedom is being bound to what you like. We came to Jesus, and as you walk with Jesus, you begin to see his love. He doesn't force you to go all the way with him. But when you see his love, by the reality of his love that you have experienced, that's why you bow. Bam. So we are bound to him by love. What Hitler could not conquer by the sword, Jesus wants to do by love. If there's somebody hostile to you, don't retaliate. Don't fight back. Just be nice. Behave like God. Do what Jesus did. You will conquer evil with good. You see, the kingdom approach to life is opposite to the human perspective of life. And so God suggests that we repent. Turn your Bible. Luke 21, we'll read from verse 33 to verse 36 as we proceed. Detachment. To what are you tied? What is the name of your God? The Bible says all these things do the Gentiles seek. They are driven by them.
But the church today preaches that we should seek the same things the Gentiles seek. It means that the same things will be able to influence on the way the Gentiles are influenced. And that's why when Obasanjo was in government, he gave Christians opportunities to be ministers and functionaries in government. Statistics has it that Christians stole more money than Muslims. Because what we hear in church is that you cannot even be an elder if you are not financially buoyant. If your tithe doesn't shake the offering basket, you are not spiritual. Because the part of the gospel is like a shining light, as the preacher say, that shines more and more until the perfect day. Your own light is not shining. God is not with you. That's the message. But when you go to the book of Acts, the Apostle chapter 6, and you see the credentials for being ordained a deacon, you will find out that maybe the guy that has it all true is an usher. Our definition according to the world is not the same definition we have with God. And I tell you, in heaven, many will cry. Not because God punished them, but they will cry because they never expected to be where God placed them. Luke 21. Are you there? Luke 21. I want to read from verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness. This is talking about loss of discernment. Alright? Loss of discernment. That's what the prince of this world does. It deepens, dampens, darkens your discernment so that you cannot tell what God has approved and what God has allowed. So Jesus is saying, be careful lest you be weighed down by carousing and drunkenness. Those things will take away your ability to discern between the right and the wrong. And the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. So I want you to see the three things that we highlighted there. The cares of this life, drunkenness, and carousing. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the earth. Therefore, watch and pray. Somebody say, watch and pray. Always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So Jesus begins to give a further teaching on how to order ourselves in this current day. And you will find him recommending a soberness, which is not the character of the average Christian. You will find him recommending a watchfulness in the place of prayer, which is not what we are trained to imbibe. You find Jesus drawing our attention to a reality that is as though if you are not conscious, if you are not alive and awake in prayer and watchfulness, you yourself will be carried by a wind that you don't really know. This is Jesus talking. Jesus. This is the only man that survived that place and came out alive. He's giving you some tips for survival. And he's saying that there is this anesthesia, anesthetic. It's a drowsing and drunken drug that the prince of this world administers so that it darkens and bloodens our discernment, so our capacity to tell what is right or wrong begins to die. That he places that spell upon every generation, upon every nation, so that the time comes when the voice of God will no longer be popular. And the people that still by all means decide to tell the truth, like John the Baptist, he plans on how to kill them. So that there's no witness in the particular territory. Jesus said, watch and watch and pray. The posture that Jesus recommends here is the posture of a gate man with his rifle pointed. Does that describe your life? Sorry. Ask your neighbor. Does that describe your own life? The posture of a gate man who is paid to keep awake with his rifle. The rifle there is prayer. You are watching what they said on CNN. Say, then you go to prayer. What they said on network. Whoa. How that Islamic forces are reinforcing in the north to plot another riot again. How they want to keep the nation in unrest and manipulate the destiny of the nation through the law and the Senate to make it impossible for Christian organizations to register their ministries. And suddenly, but you realize that mosques don't go to covert affairs to register. But people say, no, it doesn't matter. But you see, he is casting upon us a spell that will make us say, oh, it doesn't matter. And suddenly, we keep losing ground until the heritage of God in our territory is totally taken away. Jesus recommends a conscious watchfulness and a prayerfulness so that we will not become drunk. And I assure you that if this has not been your posture, the sway has taken you some miles away. Watchfulness like a megahertz. You are conscious of what you hear on the news, of the things you hear about the government, the decisions the government wants to take. Watchfulness about the tide of events. Watchfulness about the pastor of your own generation. Watchfulness about the current definition of fashion. Watchfulness about the inclination of your generation and their lust and vanity. A time just came. People just said, me, I'm Chelsea. Me, I'm for Arsenal. These things will not begin to exist today. But out of football, a court has come. Loyalties are declared. Believers say, no, it's no problem. Oh, no, God, no problem. Let's just live our lives the way it is, you know. Well, what's wrong about having a football team? And I think we were then in Port when Chelsea lost the final match. It was by the grace of God we were able. That was when you know that it's more than football. By the grace of God, we cross our life. Because Chelsea lost. They said there are many black people in Chelsea. So Chelsea is for the black. And then Chelsea now lost final. People went and blocked road. If it's only football, it shouldn't get to the road. Jesus begins to recommend a watchfulness. Like the prophets of old that looked upon the generation and cried, "Where shall your eyes see?" Because those days the prophets were the watchers. That looked upon the trend of civilization, looked upon the trend of politics and predicted that you guys are going to lose God. God cannot walk like this. Watchfulness. It is expected that if darkness and doom is about to come, we shall receive warning from the pulpit. Alas, darkness comes. But today, the darkness, I think, the coup was plotted first on the pulpit. Who will warn us when danger is coming? Who will cry from the watchtower like Habakkuk? The Lord cometh. He said, don't be locked up. Don't be taken. Second principle I want you to see, before we talk about the actual calling of Christians as the light of the world, what is the implication of that statement? I become very uncomfortable when I see the time. Can we still look at one thing? Then we'll close. The second thing that we must notice and take look upon as Christians, Paul said it. And I want us to look at what Paul said, then we'll look at what Jeremiah said, then we'll close for today. So we may not be able to even talk about our calling as the light of the world, because I want us to pray. So please turn your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Please, everyone that is here, after this meeting, I want you to take a decision in your heart that you are going to go on a spiritual, personal spiritual adventure. I assure you, you will discover many more things than your pastor told you. Alright? I assure you, you will find out many more things than you heard from the pulpit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Quickly. Let's hear Paul speak to us. And when we hear Paul, we'll balance it with Jeremiah, and then we'll close. We cannot get into the nitty-gritty of what it means when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," in this meeting. If the Lord helps us again subsequently, we'll pass this way and look at the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If He gives us the go-ahead to continue. Many times He doesn't anyway. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Are you with me? 7 verse 31. If you are there, say amen. Now, I want you to be careful with that scripture. Do not just take it as face value, so that we can spend our time and unravel it fully. Jesus said, "I do not want to take them out of the world, but I pray that you keep them from the evil one." Is that so? Now, watch it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 31. "And those who use the world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away." Now, somebody help me with all the translations we have in the house to get a different word for misuse in my own translation. Okay? Misuse.
Praise the Lord. This is contemporary English version. Verse 31. Say, it will make...
Alright.
"It won't make any difference how much good you are getting from this world."
Okay.
"Or how much you like it. This world, as we know, it is now passing away."
Alright. Any other word for misuse in your own version? Is what? Some translation says abuse. Any other one again? Chief Doe. What? Engrossed. Now. Okay, your own says not making full use. He said, we have audacity to use the world, but not to be engrossed in its trap. Alright? Now, so we have internet technology. I hope you know we can do so much with the internet. We can preach the gospel to the internet. Through the Yahoo Messenger, you can preach to people on the net. Many times in the chat room, Christian chat room, a Muslim came and tried to convert me. But when he saw that I was not convertible, and rather I threw him some questions that he could not answer, he logged out. Amen. Many more Christians need to go there that know Jesus. Need to go there and make people log out. In the name of Jesus. And also there's a Muslim chat room where you can go and break into communication with a Muslim and chat with him and preach to him. And he will not see your face. And the Al-Qaeda bomb cannot burn you. But when that thing comes upon you, why not go to a place where you can see a naked woman? That one, you will not come out in 1 year. Now, so he said you can use the world, but don't get engrossed. Is that what engrossed in his snare. Now, so the prince of this world will sit and they'll be waiting for you to get to the cross, the touch line. In everything you use, there's a touch line. There's no problem having a car, but if the jeep you have, when you enter it and you go to a lady to preach, you come out like the governor, like this. That car, you have been corrupted. You are engrossed. Hallelujah. There is something in it that you have been lost for. And that lust you have shows your true loyalty, which is ultimately and actually not for Christ. To free your soul, give it out. He said, use the word, but do not be engrossed in it. I want you to know it's a danger to be a pastor. It's a terrible thing to be a pastor. The devil is shooting you. Eh? You are praying for people, you will not even be able to pray for yourself. But when you stand on the pulpit, you are the one that has a better gaze of all the sisters. Hallelujah. Don't be what? Engrossed. Hallelujah. And that's why, if you don't understand the touch line, you can't even be a pastor. There's a touch line for everything. Jesus said, don't take them out. So it means we'll use it. We'll go to school. The first thing you learn as a science student in biology is evolution. How that the world evolved from an activity of gases in the atmosphere, and it continued, reactions continued for millions of years. And suddenly some little creatures evolved out of chemical mix-up. And as a man is lecturing, just know that he's talking. Don't be what? Engrossed. Are you alive? You should always be able to pick the touch line. It's good to have a DVD and a TV. But the time comes when NEPA takes light and you're watching Nigerian film, say, hey! Just know that you did not know, without your permission, the current thing that controls you now is what? You are engrossed. So Paul is saying, you can use the world, use its potential. Every new innovation that the world presents actually has an advantage that the kingdom can exploit. But only professionals can draw its milk without tasting its venom. Do not be engrossed. Oh my God. You know that when you go to campus to read, if you don't know why you are there, in 4 years' time, your mother will not be able to recognize you again. Because of what? Indulgence is seeking your attention. He said, do not be engrossed. The question is, it's easy to mention it. Do not be engrossed. How are we not going to be engrossed? That's the question. Jeremiah gave us the answer to that question. Now, let me tell you something quickly before you open the next text. There was a time in the church, in the body of Christ, where it was a sin for you to have television. Because the answer to the world that Bible teachers in that generation gave us was that once you abstain from the world will abstain from you. Okay? Don't have radio, don't have what? Television. Just wake up and your radio line is JESUS. Let me tell you something. Without the internet, you can only preach to your wife and your neighbor. Without microphone, your morning cry is only the mega that will hear it. You are not hearing me. Without TV, people in Kenya will never hear the message on your lips. But everything that the world has provided, there's an aspect of it that we can take advantage of to promote the kingdom. So, what that kind of preaching did that time was that it made us localized. And technology grew faster than the church. We were there, say, we are gathered together all to be. Help me now. We are gathered together all to be. Hey. Adore the Lord, shall we gather?
of his people be. We are gathered together all to be.
Before you finish singing, Saddam Hussein and his troop have taken over Sudan.
We are gathered together today. We are gathered together.
And the pastor will say, we are the righteous ones. God is not looking for you. It's not that type he's looking for. No, he has left that realm. The guy believes that without a TV, the world will not get to me. The Bible says John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking, and the people said what? He had a demon.
In his gather together all to be.
They lost hatred, malice in his heart.
We are gathered together.
He thought he would escape the world by abstinence. Separation is not segregation. The world will still locate you. The Bible says, and the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They said, behold the wine bibber, a glutonous man and a friend of the publicans. But Jesus showed us something. He made contact with the world, but he was not contaminated by it. That's Christianity. And that's holiness. You make contact without what? Contamination. You need TV. If not, you will not know what is happening in Niger Delta. You need a DVD too, because there are Christian DVDs that you need to watch. But at any point in time when you begin to encroach beyond the boundary, that you are being entangled in a trap, I will tell you how to find your way. God is placing people that can enter into satanic territory and not be touched. We need guys in the police force that will redefine what it means to be a police officer. We need guys in the civil service that will take over that sphere for Jesus and bring his principle to bear with that dimension. That's why it's because of that deception that many believers today are not in politics. They did not grow into it. Who told you? I know politics is ugly and bad. Amen? But the truth is, you can use the world if only you are matured enough not to be entangled. The Holy Spirit will teach you when to sit, when to stand, when to walk away, and when to run. The Lord give you understanding. And that's why we are making little impact on society, because we are gathered. So God, somebody needs to leave that level today. And where you school, you will see that you sent one for the kingdom to represent God. And you will influence everybody under the sphere of your influence. Bring light where there's darkness, and chase darkness out of your environment. It's obvious that we need to use the tools that the world has provided to fulfill the kingdom dream. But how do we know how far to walk when the Bible says that the whole world lieth in the wicked one? Jeremiah came to the rescue. In the book of Jeremiah, our time is spent. We can't pray again. Let me read that one and then we'll go. Jeremiah chapter 31, please turn with me. And please don't run away. Just this scripture, I won't read another one. Then we'll be done. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The time has come for God to raise us and send us forth. If you are having a civil service job and God doesn't tell you to resign, it means that you have something there to do for the kingdom. Represent God. If you are working in the village, don't be in a hurry to resign if God doesn't change your location. Because right there, in Anede, there's something God wants to do. And if your heart is right, it will pass through you. We need people everywhere. We need people in local governments and secretariats. We need people in the police, people in the customs, men of the kingdom that have been galvanized by the Holy Spirit, brought to a point of maturity where they have no other God, detached from everything that is empty. They only respond to the voice of the Master. We need them everywhere so that we can retrieve our heritage in this land from the devil. Hallelujah. Are you there, Jeremiah chapter 31? I want to read the scripture to us before we close tonight. Hallelujah. I want to read verse 33. But this is the commandment that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds. I don't like that. Your own is what? Is it mind? Oh my God. I'll put my laws in their minds and write my on their hearts. And I'll be their God and they shall be my people. No. Somebody help me with the very old King James. What does he say? I'll put my law in their inward parts. And then? And write it upon their hearts. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God. He's talking about the people that God will boast and say, this was am I, even in this rugged, crooked generation, I found the stock that I might receive. There shall be mine, said God. Hallelujah. The law was written on tablets of stone, and if you had to read it out, you need to go, and the priest will give you a copy of where it is written, because you cannot even find, you will never go to where the two tablets are, so that we copy it out for you. I said, thou shalt not steal. Then you go home and forget it, and then steal. Then the next time you have an opportunity to get through it again. And thou shalt not steal. Man, I stole. That's what he will know. And God needed something more radical. If we all go into the Holy of Holies to peep upon the stone, in that sacred moment, thou shalt not steal, and your body is shaking. After 2 weeks, you will forget it. And the Lord said, I'll write my law where? Anywhere you want. This is what we call the new divine code. Tell your neighbor that, the new divine code. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your spirit brings into you the life version of the law. Now this is what it means. It means that if I begin to talk with Joshua now, and I begin to talk with Joshua now, just talking with Joshua, and I begin to say some things to Joshua now, and at a point I begin to lose my peace, it means that the law within me is saying, you have crossed the red line. And so what you need to do at that point is what? Detach. What informs your detachment is the inward law. I don't have time to explain, oh, if Jesus will agree, we'll come back and talk for the next 3 days of next month, the inward law. If you don't know this law, you can't be holy. You understand? You are in a relationship now, and the more you press into the relationship, you are losing what? Peace on the inside. What is the law saying? Detach. Don't wait for Jesus to talk to you directly. Owocho. No. He may not call your name, but when the Lord begins to beep, what is he saying? Detach. God said that I'm going to make the law user friendly. I'm going to put it in your heart. I'm going to put it on your heart so that anywhere you are, you move as a living law. The code is encoded within you. And if you are true to it, it will deliver you from it. I want you to know that you lost your peace many times before the event that brought you so much unrest happened. The law was true to you. And you were feeling it. P. Return that money. P. Bad money. P. It rang about 7 times and you ignored it. That was where the detachment began, and that was how the prince of this world got to you. If you can be true to the law within you, you will be free from temptation. I don't have time. We need 3 days to talk about the inward law. The second thing that the kingdom man must pay attention to is the law within. The law where?
within. Two places were mentioned there, two spiritual organs were mentioned. The heart was mentioned, and the inward parts in plural. Parts. Did you see an S there? First of all, we need a chart. If the Lord allows us to tow this part, we need a chart, a projector. We'll draw a diagram and show you what are the parts inward. Define them, show you in the scripture. By scriptural definition, tell you their function. Then, how the Lord rules within the inward parts, you'll get to understand it. I hope if God agrees, we'll do that next month. Hallelujah. So that as you walk here, you'll be so conscious, full of discernment, watchful and full of prayer. Oh my God, when the devil comes, you answer him the way Jesus answered. He will come to negotiate using the mundane things of this world, but you will be functioning on a higher plane, and his intelligence will meet something that we cannot contend with. Please rise on your feet, let's pray together. Gabriel, help me with a T there, just a song, to make us appreciate the blessedness of Jesus. I can't hear you. Let's go around me.
Let your blessings be.